Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right.
Yay.
Yay. Woo-hoo. Yeah, we've got a lot of cheering going on in our little studio. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
Green Diva Lisa.
Yeah, nice try. Nice try.
Where is our Green Diva Lisa?
I think today. She's in South Dakota again. She had gone down to Austin, and she's back in South Dakota.
She's all over the place.
But let's be more concerned with our guest Green Diva co-host, Julie Bond Genovese.
Greeny Weenie.
Greeny Weenie, woohoo! That's funny. We are going to have a lot of fun today. We have a lot going on.
A lot.
We do. Well, first, let me just mention our online media partners who really help us expand our Green Diva family. Care2.com, EatDrinkBetter.com, EcoSeed.org, Green Revolution Radio out of Tucson, Arizona, FeelGoodStyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio, and that's GDreadRadio.net. And there you go. They're doing a good job. Our little fan base, our little audience is growing every day, every week. So if you are listening today and you say to yourself, gee, I want to call and talk to those darn green divas.
I got something to say.
And tell that green dude Scott so-and-so.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
You can call us at any time, and you can even talk to our guests. It's 973-267-9687.
Something that's written down. I see you looking.
Yeah, I know. I did not memorize it. You know, nowadays, everything's programmed in our cell phones. I don't memorize anything, right?
So it's a good thing that cell phone, survives the day.
Yeah, we're talking about.
What would we do?
Communication nightmare. Anyway, again, the call-in number is 973-267-9687. And maybe this week someone will actually call. And you know how many people during the week say to me, oh, I listened to the show, I loved it, and I wanted to call in, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Interrupt? Well, sometimes we're on a roll and
we're
just
always
get going.
On a roll.
I mean, we're jumping all over each other, too. So there's
room.
Yes. There's,
but
there's
you know what?
Room,
we
and we
live
will make room.
For our audience. So we will cater. You know, I think it would be very exciting to have somebody call in, like a novelty.
Oh, we've had call-ins.
No, I know.
Not,
well, we used
here
to.
Yet, but
yeah.
We will.
Yeah, we will. So anyway, today's show we have our Green Diva correspondent from the Washington, D.C. area in Virginia, Dr. Heather Eves. Green Diva Heather. She's back from Africa.
Yes.
I mean, she really literally goes around the world and is a wonderful
wow.
advocate for animals. But particularly Africa is her thing and elephants, I think.
Everything.
Everything, yeah. And our interview guest, our featured interview guest, is Kimberly Pinkson. She's the founder of EcoMom.com.
The moms.
Yeah. There's so many cool things. Now, I just graduated my baby from high school, but I'm still a mom.
Well, the reason that EcoMoms are so important is they often make the big decisions on whether to go sustainable or not. They're buying the foods, the whole foods, the good stuff.
Now, Julie still has wee ones at home, so Julie will really be able to participate in this.
Oh, yeah. What do you have at home?
What do you have at home?
What do you got? I have a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Oh, rookie.
Yeah. True.
It's so good
they're wonderful,
to be
wonderful
so great
boys.
To have grown kids, isn't it?
Woo-hoo. Yeah, actually, I'm having like a strange reaction to the empty nest thing.
Yeah, wait till September.
Well, I don't know. She's gone to camp all summer, so I'm already kind of there.
Yeah, after empty nesting. So what are you going to do?
I actually, for 27 years, I've been looking forward to this moment.
Yeah, but you've got nobody to clean up
I got
to
be honest with you. I love my kids, but I was like, wow, this is going to be fun. This is going to be really fun. And I am such a wreck. Anyway, I'm getting over it quickly.
Yeah. No dishes in the sink. No laundry on the floor.
Well,
oh, Wayne.
But
oh,
Jesse comes over once in a while and does that for me. Every time.
Oh, it's Jesse's fault.
I just want to also say our silent Jesse is in the studio doing her producer thing.
Yeah.
She helps us definitely put together the little links and resources. What we do, just so you know, Our website is thegreendivas.com. I'm a little shameless plug moment. But we always now post a links and resources post with, you know, a lot of the stuff we talk about during the show.
Right. So that
you're
can
in your car or something, whatever, you know, it's an easy reference for folks.
So if you hear something that you'd like more information on, just go to the site and and we'll link it for you. If you don't find something there, let us know and we will make sure that you get that link. So
yeah, and you know, I've been just so darn busy having fun this summer working that I haven't really – those are like the only posts. Like the last three posts are the links and resources. And so there's – we're getting there. I got to get caught up. But we also have some special segments today. We have a special segment called The Conscious Carnivore, which is all about healthy meat. We're going to be talking to Theo Weening. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I don't really think I could get that wrong. But he is the Rose giggling in the corner.
Well, I don't think you can pronounce that name any other way.
I know. Well, I'm just checking because, you know, you do all this stuff by email. And then you think to yourself, gee, I should have asked them how to pronounce. And like, I've only been doing this for how long? Six years. And I still forget to ask. How do you pronounce it?
Well, he's from the Netherlands, so. Yeah.
Well,
so
that's right. Yeah. So it could be something completely different.
Thago.
Well, he's the Whole Foods global meat buyer, and they're doing this kind of fun Meatopia. It's a butcher competition.
Meatopia.
Yeah, I know. They call it the Woodstock of meat. Isn't that great?
Meatopia.
Two
T's there?
That's no. M-E-A-T-O-P-I-A. Meatopia.
Meatopia.
Meatopia. Anyway, they're calling it the Woodstock of Meat, which is it's a best butcher's battle in each region. But the whole thing is a fun competition to help highlight the need for a butcher. I mean, why? Why would we care about having a butcher? And what does a butcher know that we don't know or that,
oh,
you know?
It's an art. It really
it
is. I mean, not for nothing.
But also, you know, a lot of what Whole Foods does and what they're now doing is this five-point system for getting healthy meat and making sure that the animals are, you know, they have a standard now. And we'll talk about that with Theo when he calls. And then, as if that's not enough, we have our wonderful Green Diva guest co-host, Julie. We're going to talk about her book, Nothing Short of Joy. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
She's doing a little chair dance over there. Julie is a very inspiring author and well, she's an inspiring person. And I actually happen to be in the book, so like, can I just do a little another shameless little plug?
Get your check to you later, Meg.
Yeah, see. So yeah, lots to talk about there. And let's see. I had a couple of weird little news items. I just, you know, I thought I'm going to do a weird news item segment in this.
Oh,
opening.
There's plenty of weird news,
right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about the debt ceiling. I get a headache thinking about that. We'll let bigger brains work on that one.
When?
But, you know, this was a nice one. This is not so weird. But there's an organization called Planet Professional Land Care Network. You know, I guess it's a like a landscapers national network. It's called the Professional Land Care Network Planet, the National Association of Lawn Care and Landscape Professionals. But they're doing their 15th annual Renewal and Remembrance Project at Arlington National Cemetery on July 25th. I thought that would be particularly poignant to mention.
That is very well cared for land right there.
But they're really working on doing, you know, creating sustainable practices there. So, you know, lower pesticide and...
Well, you have to be real careful what you put into the ground because if you fertilize a lawn next to, you know, any water... Right.
Well, then the water runs
off into the water, then you upset the balance of the.
I thought that was nice. I just thought I would mention that. This I thought was really interesting. You know, Sarbanes-Oxley, our Congressman John Sarbanes. Maybe not. Okay. Those of us that are in business have heard of Sarbanes-Oxley. You guys are looking at me like, what the heck are you talking about?
What's his name?
It's quite a name.
John Sarbanes.
Wow.
But he's reintroducing a piece of legislature called No Child Left Inside Act.
Oh, wow.
Which, it's supposed to strengthen environmental education in our nature, in our nationals. Can I talk yet? Wait a minute.
Nations.
More coffee. I need more coffee. Nations. Hear this. Oh. Can you hear me drinking my coffee there?
Sure.
Okay. Strengthen environmental education in our nation's schools. I think it's a great idea. you know, I don't know where it's going to go with all this debt ceiling stuff, but... You know, I'm going to check into it and make sure my congressman knows that we want no child left inside.
Yes, get their butts out of the plastic seats and out into nature. I agree.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, when, and of course, we all are from the same neighborhood sitting at this
we
table,
are.
Which is ironic. And we even our caller is from the same neighborhood, which is a little odd.
Oh, yeah,
today,
that's right. We're having like, and she's on the air on
but
the phone.
Right? I have to tell you, when I was a kid, I remember being filthy, dirty, and
loving it.
Outside
we
all
ran
day
amok
long,
in our neighborhoods.
But you drive around today, and the streets are deserted.
Yeah.
I know, because everybody's getting a ride.
And everybody's inside.
I know. Let's get Heather on the air. Dr. Heather, Green Diva Heather.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Perfect. How are you?
I'm so glad that we could get in touch with you. I understand you were having some communication issues, but we've worked it all out.
Yes, I have no landline and no internet, but I do have cell.
Well, we were wondering how on earth you were surviving.
I think so. I think we would call that unencumbered.
Yeah, right?
I have no problems. I have my Skype, I have my email, I have my internet on my little device.
Uh-oh.
The wonders of technology.
Did you happen to hear me mention that Congressman John Sarbanes Act, No Child Left Inside Act? That he's reintroducing that?
What, he's resubmitting it, you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I figured you would.
I'm very excited about that. We have a very active community on that issue here, and it's a really important issue.
Now, tell me what else is going on down there in your hood?
In the hood, well, let's see. The D.C. bike share program is hot to trot. It is a program now. It was launched just less than a year ago. It actually started in 2008, but then they relaunched it together with Arlington County in September of last year. They have over 1,000 bikes and I think 12,000 registered users, and their only problem is they don't have enough bikes.
Wow.
Because people are loving it.
Well, where do they get their bikes from? Do they take donations, or how does that work?
It's part of they have funders who have supported the program. There was a gentleman who basically started this process back in 95 when he discovered Copenhagen's bike share program. And it's been an effort of his to get this kind of program in the United States. And I see cyclists. I was just out on a training ride this morning getting prepared to ride with Green Dude Scott.
Oh,
yes. On the back roads Century Ride in September, and I see bike share. They're big red bikes, but people are taking them on the bike trails and biking all over D.C. and commuting and going grocery shopping and loads and loads and loads of users. So it's a very exciting development.
That's fantastic.
Now here's my question: the bike share works like this. If you're a member of the program, you find the bike at certain places within the city, outside maybe where you work, and you ride it to where you want to go?
Yes.
And they have
solar-powered stations where the bikes are securely kept. So you have a unit that enables you to unlock the bike and register that you're using it. And then it sort of counts down. You pay as you go kind of thing. And so you take the bike, you ride to the station closest to wherever your destination is, you put the bike in, and these solar-powered stations are able to operate and maintain. But again, the only challenge people are finding is that it's become so popular, they want more bikes.
Yeah, so what happens if, you know, let's say you take the bike to work, and you leave it at the nearest station at work, and then you get out of work, and, oh, my God, there's no bike. What do you do?
Yeah, I think you do like you always do with commuting is you try to arrange your commuting time so that you either have bikes available or like you do when you're driving your car, you commute when it's less vehicles on the roads.
Okay. All right.
So just adjust your time.
Or you have a plan B and there's a subway nearby or something.
And that's right. We have a great metro system here, too.
Oh, I love DC Metro.
Yeah, DC Metro is cool.
It's the best I've been in. Of course, I haven't been in San Francisco. I understand San Francisco has a great...
Well, I think D.C. is like one of the newer ones in the country, so it's nice there.
Well, it
is.
I'm sure a lot
nice.
of
yeah. it's extensive. It's reasonably priced. The bus system is well connected to it. It's one of the easiest communities I've ever lived in to get around without a car, for sure.
The nice thing about city living is the transit system. You don't have to have a car. It's nice.
You don't.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't.
Well,
so we're doing we're training, right, Scott? You're in training, sir?
Uh-huh, sure.
Is that for your Unity ride?
I'm always in training. No, this is not the Police Unity Tour. This is the Seagull Century.
No, it's Backroad Century.
Backroad Century.
Oh.
Backroad Century.
What, they changed the name of it? Or are we doing a different ride now that I don't know about?
We're doing a different ride because you didn't like it so flat. You wanted some hills, you said.
Oh, goody. More challenges.
Oh, I just got dirty look from Ro.
Well, I love hearing from you, Heather, and I'm so glad that you're in the country for now. I'm glad you do what you do, and we don't have time to talk about it, but she does check in from time to time, so hopefully we will.
I just back from Africa and on my way again in a little bit. So.
All right. Well, we'll have to get you on the schedule again for, like, September.
All righty. I'll be here.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks, Heather. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. Wow. That was a really good little report on, you know, urban bicycle sharing in D.C.
Who knew?
Great idea. It really is.
It's a great idea, and I hope it spreads. Now, going into this next break, just on the way into the break, we're going to hear a fun thing from our Green Revolution radio guy, John McLean, who's created a fun little green nursery rhyme. The Blue Bin Shuffle. Let's listen to that, and we'll be on a break. We'll come right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, kids, are you ready for Green Revolution nursery rhymes?
Yay!
Okay, here we go.
You put the plastic in, you take the yard waste out. You put the paper in. Take the garbage out. You do the blue bin shuffle as you trot to take it out. And that's what it's all about. You put the cardboard in. You take the old paint out. You put the metal in. And the plastic bags are out. You do the blue bin shuffle as you trot to take it out. And that's what it's all about.
You put the plastic in. You take the yard waste out. You put the paper in. And you take the garbage out. You do the blue bin shuffle as you trot to take it out. And that's what it's all about.
And that's what it's all about.
Wasn't that fun? That was your Green Revolution nursery rhymes. I'll see you next week.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Want to help your pets go green? Some fun and useful ideas coming up in a moment. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at g2organics.com. If you have a dog, cat, bird, horse, ferret, or other living creature from the animal kingdom that you share your life and home with, you'll want to learn about natural pet care products that are not only safer for your furry or feathered friend, but also easier on the environment too. Here are some websites and blogs that I recommend. For safe, natural, and earth-friendly toys and treats, westpawdesign.com. For an amazing array of eco-friendly pet products, ecopets.com. For news on a variety of natural pet ideas and products, care2.com. For great in-depth stories on all things pets, petnewsandviews.com.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
All right, welcome back from our little fun break. I like the little Green Revolution Radio Blue Bin Shuffle there. I figured that was appropriate since we're going to talk to Eco Mom.
The Blue Bin Shuffle.
Right?
Which is the recycling, right?
Yes, that's recycling.
Ours are green, but...
So, welcome back to the Green Divas Radio Show, just in case you tune in and wonder, what the heck are they doing? Who are those people? What are they doing? Yeah, we're here. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
Green Dude Scott.
Greeny Weenie Julie.
And Greeny Weenie Julie. She is so funny. I love my Julie. Anyway, I just want to mention that we do love to interact with our audience and our fans. So please find us on Facebook. A lot of fun going on there. And you just look us up, Green Divas Radio Show. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, at Green Diva Meg. And, I'm always wondering, you know, like, Twitter thing. I the only reason Twitter works for me is every time I post on our Facebook page, it automatically
goes right to Twitter. I love that too.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm like, God, you know, I can't do it all.
I better get Twitter in, huh?
When
we were at the other station, I was frustrated by the fact that it limits what the number of.
Yes.
I know you have to edit yourself. You can't be a verbose.
But if it goes from Facebook, it will do the little bit URL, and then they can go to your Facebook to get the full
It'll
story.
Have to be URL,
so
I
you need
pages.
To know, my friend, because you do post on our.
I rant.
Green dude.
You rant.
You rant that it goes on my my Twitter.
Oh, so when I put
Twittering.
It on the GD.
Yeah.
You're tweeting, and you didn't know.
The GD page. It does go to Twitter?
Anyway, yes. So, anyway, I'm just reintroducing, letting you know we're there. And I think we have our guy, Theo Weening, who's the global meat buyer for Whole Foods, on the line to talk about what's going on there. Let me see. Theo?
Yes, hello. This is Theo.
Hey, Theo. Thank you for calling in on short notice. We sort of devised this fun little segment for you because we heard that there was some fun going on with Meatopia.
Yes. And how much you know about Meatopia?
Not a lot. All I know is that it's the Woodstock of meat.
You got it. We started, many years ago. I mean, the art of butchering is kind of like, you know, fading. And originally I'm from Holland, and I went to an apprenticeship program. So we had planted at Whole Foods an apprenticeship program many years ago, and over time our butchers got, you know, the old skill like what they used to do in the past, and we really pride ourselves on. So early this year we came up after we launched the 5-step animal welfare program. Also want to highlight all these butchers that really, you know, the farms do a great job, but at the end the butcher is the one that finishes it off.
Wow.
And talks to the consumer. So we started a small competition, and it got bigger and bigger, and then, all the butchers got very excited about it, and we heard about Meatopia, and it seemed to be a perfect fit. So that's when we started to work with the folks from Meatopia, and Whole Foods is the main sponsor. So now we have 11 butchers coming to the event in Meatopia July 23rd, and we're going to have 2 semifinal rounds, and in the end we have 4 finalists. And the final is you have 45 minutes to break down a half a side of beef. So it requires a lot of skills. And, in many of the grocery stores, you know, all the stuff comes in prepacked. And so that's where really we're always emphasizing on the consumer as well, that ask the butcher, talk to the butcher. He can do special cuts. He knows recipes. And it's really a skill, and we want to highlight it. And from a small little competition, it became a national competition, and all the response we're getting and from the excitement at the stores, I'm pretty sure it won't be the last year we're going to do this.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great idea to highlight because, you know, we used to have a local butcher in Denville, right? I mean, we all, my local butcher was in Denville, but, there's no butchers anymore. I mean, you go to the grocery store and there is a little guy in the corner sometimes.
High school
student. Holler for them.
Yeah, it was a high school student usually, but, there just isn't anybody to really talk to about what is this and how do I get that or make recommendations.
Who's learning what cut is what and what the healthiest and the meat, what you're looking at. I mean, it's a lost art, and a lot of people just don't know how to shop.
Well, I love that we're kind of going back to this, and it's nice that Whole Foods is really participating.
And then the other part is, you know, we launched the animal welfare program, the GAP program, earlier this year, and we have commitment with the suppliers, and in many cases we got to buy the whole animal, And so our butchers, you know, they have the skills like a flat iron steak, a Denver cut steak, hanging tender. I mean, you don't find that in your regular grocery store.
I've never even heard of those.
Of the five-step program, we have to sell those pieces. And, you know, it takes a different skill for these guys to kind of cut it all out, seam it all out, and get it ready for the customer, and then talk to the customer about how to cook it as well. And, you know, and many of these, I'm always calling them the unknown cuts. And, you know, they priced at a good value. And in many cases, like, you know, you look at the flat iron steak. I mean, it's the second most tender steak in the animal, and a lot of people don't even know about it.
I don't.
Yeah, where is it?
It's in the shoulder. It's on the side of the shoulder. It's the upper blade of the shoulder.
So that's what I would ask for, would be the flat.
You ask for a flat iron steak, and they'll prepare it, and they seam it out. It takes a little bit more skill to get that piece seamed out and ready for the consumer to eat. But after you cook it, I mean, personally, it's tender, but also I think it has a lot more flavor because it is from the shoulder. It has a little bit more marbling in it. If I could pick, you know, tenderloin or a flat iron, I'll pick the flat iron.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll have to look into that. Now, I'm really interested in, and we only have about a minute left, but the Global Animal Partnership that's part of this five-step animal welfare rating system. Part of what my thing is now I only eat meat if I have some assurance that it was, you know, humanely handled and in its life and in its butchering.
Definitely, it's so important, and that's one thing we pride ourselves on. I mean, we had close to 1,500 audits done in the last 12 months that, you know, we check on that at the farm level. But the good part is, you know, we know where our meat comes from. We talk to the farmers, and it's not like a marketing story or anything. It's very important for us, and we've been doing that for years. And really, like in your area, we have a local regional beef program. In the past, they would ship these cattle all the way to Nebraska, finish them off there, process them, ship them back. Now we keep everything over there, and it gets processed over there. So it's, first of all, it's much better for the animal, but it's also better for the environment, too.
Yeah,
less
really.
Transportation and stuff. It takes a little bit more work, but it is definitely pays off, and the quality is better because it's less stress for the animal. Overall, it's one of the best things we ever done.
Well, and even if it costs a little bit more, and sometimes it does, admittedly, for me,
yep.
It is so much worth it for so many reasons. There's so many
and
other
and
reasons.
And many of all the farmers appreciate it, too. When I started with one program, there were 30 small pig producers and all over parts of the country, and now we have close to 600 small pork producers that in many cases they would tell me, many times they get a Christmas card, they say, thank you for saving a farm.
Aww.
Because, you know, without us, they wouldn't be in business anymore.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad you were able to call us this morning, and we'll have to talk to you again because there's obviously so much more to talk about.
Anytime. You tell me when you want to, and I'll be there.
Are you still in, if you have time
next week, Meatopia, there's still tickets available, so... Stop on.
Yeah, it's over in Brooklyn, by the way, right?
Yes.
All right.
Where are you located? Are you still in D.C.?
I'm on the Eastern Shore in Maryland.
All right.
But my offices, we have the offices in Austin, but
yeah.
I'm still on the Eastern Shore in the country.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Theo.
Thank you. Anytime.
Have a great weekend. Okay. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, that's enlightening, and there's so much to talk about when it comes to our diets and being a carnivore and understanding where our food comes from and the footprint. Like he said, so many times meat, you know, is processed and it travels, you know, hundreds of miles before it gets back to our little package in the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
certainly.
I don't know. I would rather eat, and I don't eat a lot of meat. But yep. If I have meat, I want to know where it's from. And I only need a small amount, and that's a whole nother topic. And I don't want to take any more time because I want to talk about Julie's book. Nothing short of joy. You want to tell us a little bit about your book? And
yes, I am the weenie greenie today because I'm only 4'3" tall. I was born with spondyloepiphyseal dysplasia, a type of dwarfism. And when I was first writing my book, I thought it was about that journey from feeling like SED was such a curse into realizing it was the way I looked at it and I could change it into a blessing. But what it has become about over the past year and a half of speaking and sharing the book is that my journey is a universal one. And people come up to me and say, who are average height, say, right. I know I have different circumstances, but that's my story. So that's been really exciting because one of my biggest fears was I was alone in this world and so different and never going to be enough. And then I come to realize that's what everybody's thinking.
Well, I just want to say Julie got invited to – well, first of all, Wayne Dyer did write up a little endorsement for her book.
Yes.
But she got invited to speak on stage Wayne Dyer.
Oh, and he's my hero.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Mm.
Yeah. She's very inspirational, and it is a universal story. Now, I've known Julie. We were best friends when we were 9 years old, back in the hood. And it's been really, really beautiful to watch this journey unfold. And we had lost touch with each other for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to underscore that when we got back together, that the journeys were so similar.
Yes. We
were
both
there
on
were
the
different
same page.
Things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of young people go through that stage in life where they just feel, and I think a lot of people, you know, some adults go through it too, where, you know what, they just feel that they're just not right. They're alone. They're alone.
Never
and that's
up.
Huge.
Yeah.
Right. So this book's for everybody.
Well, and of course, I'm in it, so.
How are you in it? Tell us all about it.
I have a whole chapter, man.
You have a whole chapter?
Well, I don't know, but.
She does.
When we were young.
Almost got me smoking. No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember Julie screaming, you know, what are you doing? I have quit.
See, I was green even back then.
Yes, she was. She was.
Well, that was the school had a smoking lounge.
Gail King.
Then.
When Julie did the Gail King show, Gail King brought me up like, what about that friend of yours?
I know.
That bad influence.
Bad influence.
Like, thanks.
Aw, little did we know you would come back, my angel.
Well, you know, it's been so exciting. And Julie went. Was it last weekend you spoke or 2 weekends ago out in California at the Little People
of America Convention?
Yeah. And we used to joke around about that years ago. And you're like, I'm not going to this.
I know. I am not one of them. I know. I had my own prejudices, obviously, against myself and anyone who looked like me. And I didn't want to be looking at that crystal clear mirror and having to see all my differences. But this year, because of the changes I've gone through with the book, when I first walked into the lobby and it was swarming with little people, it definitely was upsetting and unnerving. But within, I don't know, a couple of hours, my eyes adjusted, my heart reopened, and I went, oh, I love these people. I love them. They're amazing. We have to walk through life in this odd little costume, and yet we really are living the same life as everyone else, and I think we're a great message of that.
Well, Julie's always been a message of that, and this book, everybody I know that has read this book adores it because it really brings home that message. I mean, we all feel like we have some kind of disability inside, whether it's emotional or physical or whatever it is, and you know that we harbor that part of us that we don't like or that we don't want to share.
But of course, you know, some of the media does portray that you must be like this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's annoying.
To be acceptable,
conform.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's what's inside and what you know, how you behave out in the world and how you treat others that makes you really the person that you need to be.
Well said, Green Dude Scotty.
And I'll be nice.
So I just want to, you know, Julie has a website, right?
Indeed, www.nothingshortofjoy.com.
Woohoo!
And you can read 3 free chapters, the first chapters, at my site, if you'd like.
Ooh, free. I like that.
Where can we find the book?
The book is at Amazon. It's at my site, Barnes & Noble, Borders, you know, anywhere
it's out
you
there.
Look.
It's
and you got to keep
there.
Up with Julie, which is hard to do because she's flying all over the gosh darn country speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a really Little Miss au Popular now. But lots
There's
of
a lot
schools,
to be said.
Schools and other folks, and even you're doing even some corporate motivational speaking.
I did. A financial arena.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't know who they were hiring.
You have a greeting. Let me just really quickly mention that you also, Julie is one of the most beautiful artists I've ever, her art is
oh,
so
go
beautiful.
On.
And she's got a line of greeting cards that are stunning and really, they're as inspirational as she are. She is. She are.
She are.
She are.
I are.
Anyway, I'm your little pitch man today.
Thank you so much.
Well, the thing back to schools, you've done some inspirational speeches at schools.
Yes. Our high school.
Yeah.
Lakes High School.
Yeah.
But they were always nice to you at Mountain Lakes.
That was a tough crowd, though. You should see them now. Ooh, they are under pressure.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot more diverse than it used to be.
No, not much.
Oh,
not so much.
No, no.
All right,
who are you talking to?
Who are you talking,
to?
We're about to go on break. We'll pick this up in a few minutes, kids. Please stay tuned.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds, and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenaid.co.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. We're having a lively time with our green dude, Scott, and our greenie weenie, Julie. I just love that. But I think, we, you know, before we get Kim on the line, Scotty just wanted to make a point about how important this is. And you, as a police officer, you know, and seeing how youth is affected by bullying.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of programs out there. I mean, the DARE program is one. And of course, a lot of people can, you know, roll their eyes at that. But I watched it work. I watched, you know, getting to these kids young and saying a few things to them. And this is the kind of information that kids need to, you know, chew on. I mean, required reading, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, great dude.
Get in the curriculum, girlfriend. Yeah. Lots
but of this, books. This kind of stuff belongs in the curriculum, because kids need to understand that everybody's different and everybody has feelings. And the reason they're being, you know, somebody might be a jerk is because they have their own issues. And just because somebody's different doesn't make them anything less. They may be bigger and better.
Aw, very well said. Great. You know, you're all profound today. You're just not your usual goofy self.
Well, you got to give me something like last week when I tried to, you know, throw in that women shouldn't be driving cars. I mean, you know, we're going to throw that out. Okay. But I was reined in and I was told to behave myself because, in fact,
just
we
when
have
you
to
think
allow
the
women
guy's
to drive.
Got a heart, he starts talking about feminine drivers.
So let's move on.
All right. Let's get Kim on the line. Kim is the co-founder and VP of Community Relations of Ecomom.com. Kim, are you with us?
Good morning, I am.
Thank you so much. Now, are you on the West Coast?
I am. I'm up in California.
So it's not nice and early for you.
Early.
Thank
it
you.
It is early.
Thank
so
you
I've
for
got a house full of little kids, so we're up early anyways.
Yeah, really. So this isn't
Well, they
bad.
Must be little kids because the middle-aged kids, and I'll say teenagers,
middle-aged
aren't up yet.
Kids. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, your site is just so wonderful, and I just lament that we didn't have Ecomom.com. When my children were little, I was doing a lot of this stuff kind of on my own. So anyway, I know that there's so much to talk about, but you know, you can give us some tips for summer travel with kids, some eco tips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give us a few of those.
Sure. Okay. I wasn't sure if that was a question or.
I know that was me. Sorry.
That's okay.
I need more coffee.
So I think, you know, one of the things that we always want to be looking at is what we're putting in, on, and around our children. And if we keep those three kind of pillars in mind, then we can help, you know, make easier and healthier choices. So one of the things for summer travel, of course, is keeping our children hydrated and wanting to give them lots of water. And so making sure every family member has a reusable water bottle, and that one prevents plastic bottles from going into our landfills, but also from our children drinking water that's been exposed to the toxins in the plastic bottles. And so we, you know, want to get reusable water bottles that don't have any liners that would be leaching any harmful chemicals into them. So that's a really easy and healthy approach. And I definitely recommend one for each member of the family. So if you have more than one kid, there's no arguing over whose water bottle is whose.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Oh, that happens anyway.
I know.
And then another one is sunscreen. It's an area that many, you know, parents are concerned about, and rightfully so. And so wanting to use one that doesn't have, there's so many different opinions and information that's out there that's really misleading for families about what healthy sunscreen is. And one of our favorites is a company called Epicentral. It's actually even safe for infants, which is, you know, shows how kind of pure it is. It's made by mom who is a you know, mother herself and second generation skincare and family, and there's no harmful chemicals in it, and it really actually works. And
would you
protective.
Do me a favor and say the name of that company again?
It's called Epicentral,
EPI sunscreen. Central, Epicential.
EPI, S-E-N-C-I-A-L.
Thank you. Yeah, I needed that simplicity.
Sunny sunscreen. And it's an SPF 35. And most research that we've looked into, and also working with a partner called Environmental Working Group, and they do a wonderful sunscreen report each year, is that sun protection higher than 35 is unnecessarily exposing us to harmful chemicals, and really we're better off just sticking with the 35 and, you know, reapplying after swimming and after a couple of hours of play in the sun.
Yeah, I like that Environmental Working Group, and I just was telling Jesse, who's putting together our links and resources, make sure you include EWG.org because they do a nice rundown of okay, I'll shut up now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we have sunscreens. We have water bottles without BPA, reusable water bottles that are marked for each child. And if you lose yours, too darn bad. No.
Yeah, well, and then I think it's also, I mean, depending on the age of your children, but even starting really young, to, you know, discuss where you're going with them before and do some, you know, internet searches or get some books for them on the locations that you're going so they feel a little more educated, and then it makes the experience of where you're going richer.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I think that's always helpful, and it just, you know, increases the sense of connection for the children with place, which is what, you know, we're essentially trying to teach, is that there's no difference between personal health and environmental health. And so, you know, helping kids understand right away that we're connected to our environment.
Wow, what a nice way to put that. I like the way she said that, that there's, you know, the connection between, there is no difference between personal health and environmental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think she sort of said
we are so affected by our environment more than we really realize, especially kids.
Yeah, and I really think that will sort of be the next wave of awareness in terms of, you know, sustainable living or green living or eco-living, however you want to call it, but really is more and more of an understanding that, you know, we are part of our environment, and so there is no difference between our, you know, personal health and our family health and our environmental health. And so it's not just talking about, you know, we're taking care of this planet out there. It's talking about starting with ourselves, and that, you know, helps take care of our world. But, you know, first and foremost, it takes care of our families and
well,
ourselves.
It was such a huge disconnect growing up for me, and I think other people my age, which I won't scare you with.
20, 25,
30. Yeah, that. but you know, my parents didn't talk about, like, where food came from or, you know, we didn't play
now,
in the yard, you know, growing things. Now, maybe you did.
Where food came from then was the grocery store, and most of it was
plastic.
Fresh produce.
Yeah.
Until the late 70s when, do you remember, what was Swanson Frozen Dinners?
Oh.
Was the first
already prepared?
Let me correct you right now real quick. My grandfather actually invented frozen foods, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
He sold to Birdseye.
Right?
Yeah. No, for the World War II, all the guys that were flying over.
Oh,
to...
interesting. Wow.
Well, he did, and he sold the patent, actually. So, I mean, I just have to say that out loud.
But things were better. Things were better mid-70s and before that. I mean, your mother went shopping and bought fresh produce, more likely, and fresh meats from the grocery store. There were not aisles and aisles of prepackaged foods.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I grew up thinking that flour came from the shelf. I had no idea it was from a grain.
Right.
Yeah,
it was just some weird white dust that you made bread with.
Weird white dust. All right, we're not going there because it was the 70s.
But still.
Well, I think today more children are, both in school and in families, are, you know, growing up with a greater awareness of where their food comes from and understanding that even just in the last 5 years there's been a tremendous shift. And I believe that that's increasing more and more.
Well, and of course, that's only one aspect of, and you mentioned where, you know, helping children make the connection of place and what that means, you know.
Well, I kind of wonder about that because I don't think they have what we called home ec in school anymore, do they?
Well, they call it something else, and I don't
are
have any of my kids.
Are they teaching them about nutrition?
What do they call it now, Jess? Come on.
Oh, silence.
No,
it's
I don't know what it's called.
It's something like,
that.
You know, like home engineering.
Home science.
Or something.
Sorry,
yeah.
So it's not.
But there's more. I believe that there's. I've seen a large increase, and in not just in California, but across the country. Many of our eco moms are from the Midwest and the Northeast, and Florida and Texas. And we hear more and more about, you know, families and schools are taking their children on, you know, field trips in the schools and integrating what is often called like eco literacy into the school program. So it's not so much of you're going to go take a home ec class per se, but, you know, let's talk about you know, where your food is coming from in general, and let's, you know, create a garden in the school and, you know, grow some of our own carrots or, you know, so the kids can actually be a part of that and experience it. And then it gives them such a greater sense of stewardship and health.
Well, I know that Slow Food Northern New Jersey, our area Slow Food, has a very big program for getting school gardens and curriculum related to those gardens in to many schools. A lot of them are more urban.
Wonderful.
And they're, you know, they integrate science and math and even history, because they'll talk about, you know, they'll do like one of those Indian three sisters garden, I think it is.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they can incorporate quite a bit of curriculum along with the idea that kids are, whatever, I'm scratching my head.
They love it. They love being.
They do. It brings, I think it brings such a richness to their education, because it's stuff that they can relate to. It's instead of just reading about something in a textbook.
Exactly.
Even at a young age, it's more experiential, and so there's such a greater passion.
Okay.
Now, an interest.
Now we have to move on to the topic of baby shower faves for Green Divas in our life, because I have a new grandbaby on the way.
Another
soon.
One. My goodness.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
another one?
Yeah. It just makes me older, but fun. You know.
Richer. That's wonderful. Congratulations.
I'm a happy yaya with a little couple of eco, you know, grandkids. Anyway, the new baby's on the way. So there's you know, we're not giving her a shower for number two, but we're going to shower.
What do you mean you're not going to give her a shower for number two?
I'm still going to shower. I said, do not worry. I will shower my little granddaughter with all kinds of fun stuff.
Mm. What is it? Just, you got stuff. Pass it down. Is that what you do?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, you have so much stuff.
we'll do a blessing way. But anyway, I want to hear Kimberly's ideas for green shower.
Well, I think that, you know, again, looking at what you put in on and around the baby. And so, you know, the food, of course, you know, breast milk and or organic formula at the beginning. And then the on the baby, the skin is our biggest organ, and we don't often think about that. And so right away wanting to make sure that you're putting organic, you know, lotions and oils and baby massages, just such a sweet, sweet bonding for, you know, the baby and mom, dad, and older siblings that want to participate in that. And then we've got some great options on ecomom.com, which are, you know, oils and lotions and bubble baths.
And it's surprising how dry a baby's skin can get.
Yeah,
you would
can.
Think that, like, they'd be all, like, just all perfect and stuff. And they come out, and the little guys are all, like, dry and scaly.
Why is
like,
that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they get little rashes.
Well, they've been in the womb all kind of moist.
Liquid, yeah.
Oh, you mean baby babies.
Yeah, baby babies.
I had nothing to do with the baby babies.
Yeah, he's like
coming out. Little freshies.
Freshies. Aww.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Now, do you have slings, fun slings and stuff?
Mm-hmm. We have slings, we've got diapers, and I mean, like you said, swings, that's a really, you know, baby wearing is one of the oldest, you know, traditions, if you will, in the world, and it's comforting for both the baby, and it gives, you know, mom and dad a little more freedom with their hands.
Yeah, and drool in their hair and soggy shoulders. And
that's a given.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I had the backpack.
Oh, you had
the backpack, and I had the kids, you know. Take, you know, throw my sunglasses and, you know.
Yeah, well, that's when they're a little older. See, he's really not, he's not connected to the whole baby thing where you
just. The very beginning. Yeah.
Oh, but it was so much fun.
We've got a couple of different brands that very moderate prices, ranging from, you know, $45 to $129. Yeah. So there's a nice variety of textures and looks and styles of the wraps as well.
So what's green about diapers?
What's green about diapers? Well, fortunately, there's starting
no,
to be more options out there. One of the most popular brands right now is called Grovia. And again, sort of the trend right now, I guess, with diapers is a sort of hybrid type of diaper.
Hybrid diaper.
So cool. You got a hybrid car. You got a hybrid.
You have a
diaper?
Warning system that allows, you know, lets you know that something's amiss or in it.
The G diapers are that hybrid, and then the Grovia is a really sweet cloth all-in-one diaper with an absorbent cotton inner liner, and then a water-resistant outer cover.
Nice.
So there's more options now than just either, you know, cloth and or disposable.
Yeah, 18 years ago, these things weren't around. It was either cloth or, you know, landfill.
Well, that's the big debate, what's better, cloth or disposables.
And no, we've had there's that. No debate.
Yes, there is.
No,
of course there is. You're going to
wash
them.
Disposables are a nightmare. They stay in the landfill for like 500 years.
And the amount of energy, because how many diapers are you going to wash a day?
It's not that much energy.
Yeah. I think we had this debate, and there was some discussion about...
Okay, Kim, you solve this.
What's good for parents now is that there's just more options, you know, so you feel like you've got better choices now. And
very politically correct.
I know.
And that's to not... I, you know, I feel really strongly about people not getting caught up in looking for perfection, but instead of thinking, like, we're stepping in a better direction. You know, maybe 5 years from now, there'll be even better options. But right now, there's some, you know, we've moved ahead quite a bit than the ones that were ending up in the landfills, as you mentioned. So.
Well, you know, and that's such a Green Diva answer, because that is what we're all about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because it isn't about, oh, my God, you know, I'm, you know, sometimes you need to compromise in certain areas. And,
yeah,
know, whatever.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Kimberly, yeah. I'm so glad you called. We're going to have to talk again, because this is an endless topic, our kids and our grandkids.
Yes, definitely.
And
I hope you can find some good treats for your daughter and your new grandbaby coming on ecomom.com.
Oh, you bet I will. And
let me know which you end up getting and what you love and how things go with the new baby.
I will do that. So everybody, check out ecomom.com. Thank you, Kimberly Pinkson, for calling in, and we will talk to you again soon.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy your day.
The greenest way, just let them run around the yard.
No.
No. Well, why not?
Yeah, they don't like that too well. Mine didn't. Trickling down, they're like, mm-mm. No.
Oh, well, I had boys.
They were like, ah!
Well, she has
the boys.
The
boys didn't have that problem. But I tell you, you know, potty training as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Let them use the toilet. Come on.
The toilet.
I know that's tough. Some people really, especially with schedules today and so on. But, you know, just the quickest way.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when my kids were kids, like, you couldn't buy almond milk. I mean, you know, when they were little and I was, like, not doing dairy or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to find organic milk, so forget it. I made almond milk.
Oh, my
they didn't
gosh.
Have it in a box back
Wait,
then.
How do you make almond milk?
Oh. It's really not that hard.
You boil the heck out of them,
no,
right?
No. Actually, you...
Oh, you soak them. Is that...
I think there was soaking involved and blenders involved.
Soaking
and then
and blenders.
A lot of straining. And that's it. It really was not a big deal.
Well, thank goodness they have it available today, because who has time?
I know. Back then, we really were silly. You know, but
I didn't have almond milk growing up. I turned out just never mind.
But, yeah, really. I don't know. There's a case for almond milk there.
Oh. Nice.
Oh. Anyway, I just want to mention that next week we have John Volker, our favorite green car dude.
Oh, and we have so much to talk about.
And he's the senior editor of GreenCarReports.com. He's a very busy guy these days because everybody, you know. The other day, I was so excited because BMW eCar started following me. And I was like, ooh, ooh, they like me. I wrote them back. I followed them back and said, can I get one of those to play with? I think it's going to be a little while before they come out. But
I'm getting mine first. I am tech guy.
I know.
You heard that, right? Everybody heard that?
Now you like being an eco geek, huh?
Yeah, give me a car. I got to test drive them.
I know.
Why would a woman test drive a car?
I did go out this last weekend and drive a Lexus HS250, the 250 hybrid sedan.
What?
I drove the Lexus HS250.
Oh, yes?
Again, because remember, they gave
one to me
before they came out 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
They gave me one for like 2 weeks to review.
They forgot you had it.
And I was like, oh, I'll just keep this one. It had like Michigan plates on it because it really was one of their, you know, prototype or, you know, it was one of the early.
I tell you, a lot of rental companies are picking up on that. And you can rent these cars before you actually buy them for those who want to spend more time with them.
They said they have a lot of the loaner cars are the hybrids, because I guess that's how people get a chance to try them and realize that they're really just as groovy as the other engines. I loved it. I had fun. So anyway, we have a lot to talk about with John next week, and you can look at our schedule. We are booked almost solid into October now. We have 1 week open in September and 3 weeks left in October. The first week's taken. We've got lots of really fun stuff coming. Anyway, so Julie, we have a couple minutes. I just want to, like, you know, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. This is fun. You should see this round table here.
I know. It's kind of fun. We have this round table just and all of us sitting around with microphones and coffee and pens.
Coffees and pens. And an awesome book, says Ro in the corner.
Aw.
Yeah.
Yay.
So please find Julie's book, Nothing Short of Joy. And, you know, you can go to our website, thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. And find out all about the stuff we talked about today, because Green Diva Jessie has been making notes and getting links and resources for us.
And taking names.
Yeah. Her and her little pink pen that matches a little pink shirt.
It does. She's so
matchy.
Cute?
Oops, matchy. Didn't realize. Next week, we're going to talk about a solar-powered lawnmower. How about that?
Ooh.
No kidding. Really?
You just have to clean up after it.
What does it do?
Yeah, what the heck? What
Sheep.
If it leaves the trash?
Oh,
I want one.
You.
I so
you
want
one?
One. Anyway, everybody have a great green week, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.